The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. And, wow, what a crazy day. We've got a lot to go through, and I have a very simple question for you. President Trump, calling on the nation to return back to God. The president of these great United States, Donald John Trump, says that if we really want to make America great again, it's all about getting back to reading the Bible, getting back to religion, and getting back to prayer. And the president is catching a holy you-know-what over that. H-E double hockey sticks, if you will. I mean, it's ugly. People are out there accusing the president of all sorts of things, but I'm curious to hear from you if that's a good notion. Do you believe that's the answer to all of the problems in America? By the way, I actually wrote a book about that. It came out last week called Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? And the whole premise of that book is we can save America, but we've got to get back to the faith of our founding fathers. And if we don't do that, then we're going to face some big trouble in this world. Now, in just a minute, I'm going to play some audio. We played this for you yesterday. It was about a three-minute clip of President Trump, and he was talking about this Bible called the God Bless the USA Bible. Now, you probably have seen the stories, and they're all wrong. And so we're going to set the record straight here because this is important, and I don't like it when you have a bunch of so-called Christians out there and conservative talk hosts, and they're out there advancing these lies about President Trump and his involvement in the Bible. Now, if you're reading, if you're watching the news last night, if you're reading the social medias, this is all, it's all going viral. President Trump was promoting this Bible called the God Bless the USA Bible. It's a King James version of the Bible, and it's a gift Bible. Now, if any of you are of the Christian faith, the religious faith, you know there's a Bible that you typically use for going to church on Sunday or going to Sunday school, and many of you probably have the markers, and you mark your Bible with the yellow marker, and you underline Bible verses. That's your working Bible. Others of you have a Bible that sits on the dashboard of your pickup truck, and it's been there for, I don't know, 20, 30 years, has a couple of inches of dust on it. That's your truck Bible. So that people, when you're pulling into the Walmart or the liquor store in the next county over, they're going to know, oh, that person goes to church. There's a dusty Bible on the dashboard. You know what I'm talking about. So anyway, then there are these gift Bibles, and these gift Bibles are something that you would give someone to commemorate something, and in this particular case, this particular Bible, it's got a copy of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and the Declaration of Independence, most of our founding documents, and it also has a beautifully produced version of the lyrics to God Bless the USA, the great Lee Greenwood anthem that President Trump comes out to every single time he is out there on the campaign trail. And what is it? $59.99. That's the cost of the Bible. And all these people that are like, how dare he? How dare he? That heathen man blaspheming God's word, writing his own Bible. They're calling it the Trump Bible, as if Trump actually created all of this. Well, Trump did not create all of this. He's making money off of God. Jesus turning over the tables in the temple. That's what, if Jesus was here, he would be down at Mar-a-Lago turning over the giant tables in the lobby. That's what they're saying about this guy. They're actually accusing Trump of hawking Bibles for $60. Who in their right mind would pay that much for a Bible? How dare that man? Who does he think he is? Turning Trump water into Trump wine? Well, it has been done. So anyway, you know that's going to end up on the Mediaite. I love it. You know what? I love playing with those people. They're like toying with like little rats. No, they're not mice. They're rats and snakes. So anyway, demons, legion. Anyway, pardon me. So anyway, they're out there. Everybody's enraged over this. Charlie Sykes, the whole night. Do we have that audio from Charlie Sykes? He was on MSDNC freaking out over the Bible. Cut number 15.
This Bible seems to me to be a new level of culty.
Shut up,
it also,
woman.
If you listen to his comments, it's painful, but I did. He blames America for everything he's done to it, which is especially culty. What can be said, Charlie, to a person who hears that, gets out their credit card, and purchases a God Bless the USA Bible?
Well, the first thing you'd say is, oh, my God. I mean, it is not only culty, it is grifty. It is so much on brand for Donald Trump. I mean, obviously, he's playing on the themes of, you know, that I am the defender of Christianity, encouraging the Christian nationalists out there. But I think the thing that you can't take your eyes off of is that he's commodifying the Bible during Holy Week, that he's selling it for $60. And this money might go to pay some of the legal fees for his relationship with a porn star that he paid off. Let us pray here. I mean, the cynicism here is not a new story, but can I just remind people that Donald Trump has been asked in the past, what is your favorite verse of the Bible? And he has no idea. He talks about 2 Corinthians. He's been asked by faith leaders, do you ever ask for forgiveness? Do you ever pray? And not really. And yet, you know, conservative evangelical Christians have swallowed this. And so I don't expect that they're not going to swallow, you know, that they're going to draw the line when it comes to this. But this is so much Donald Trump. I mean, it is such an artifact of this political moment where this Elmer Gantry grifter who sells the golden tennis shoes is now selling the Bible to Christians at this particular moment. And you cannot make it up. And this is Earth 2.0.
All right. So this is Charlie Sykes, and he's a heathen. He's quite frankly, what he said was evil because it's a lie. Charlie Sykes and whoever that chick is, was that Mika? It may have been Mika. I don't know. They all sound the same to me. Anyway, they are both committing an egregious sin themselves. They are bearing false witness. Donald Trump is not selling Bibles. I reached out to the publisher. By the way, we're going to be talking to Lee Greenwood in the next hour of the show. But Donald Trump is not selling these Bibles. Donald Trump is just telling people to go out and get a copy of the Bible. That's all he's doing. This is not some sort of a Donald J. Trump Bible. This Bible, by the way, has actually been out there for several years. I'm being told maybe since 2021. You might remember last year, year before last, we had Lee Greenwood on the program talking about this Bible, the God Bless the USA Bible. So again, this is nothing new. But do you see how evil these people are? Do you see? Look, this is why I love that we have 3 hours together so that we can expose all of this corruption. These people are very bad, bad people. The Charlie Sykes of the world and all of these so-called Never Trump woke evangelicals out there. By the way, I did a little bit of research for you, ladies and gentlemen, because they would have you believe all of these limp-wristed little Christians that run these little nasty liberal Christian magazines that used to be conservative, like Christianity Today. No, it's not Christianity. There's no Christianity in what they're doing at Christianity Today. There's nothing. It's an abomination, Almighty God. And you know what? Trump is not some sort of a preacher. He's not a theologian. He's an American citizen who loves this country, and he understands what made this country great. And what made this country great was that the pilgrims came here to escape religious persecution. And now, thanks to our founding fathers, we've got the freedom to practice our faith in the public square. And there are people out there, including the limp-wristed woke evangelicals out there, who want to stop that from happening. If you love God and you love your country, they want you to think you should be ashamed. And I say you should be proud. You should be waving the Christian flag and the American flag. That's what I say. But this notion that Trump is out there and he's selling Bibles out of the back of, I don't know, out of the back of the beast, that's unbelievably false. It's a lie. And I say shame on all of you. Shame on you. But again, I want to go back to this idea. They seem to think that Donald Trump created this little gift Bible thing. Folks, they've been selling these things for generations. As a matter of fact, I decided to go online to see how much the leather-bound gift study Bibles were going for these days. And just about every preacher in America's got one. Folks, they're going for $130, $140. But Donald Trump is selling his for $60. That's what they're saying. He's charging $60 for a Bible. Who does that man think he is? And so then when we explain all this, and I've been on social media trying to push back on the narrative, the fake narrative out there, and I say, yeah, $60 is a pretty darn good price because those Bibles typically go for $130. $130? So you're telling me that Donald Trump's only selling the Bible for $60, that cheap man? Is Donald Trump saying the Bible's cheap? Is that what he's saying? These people are unhinged. He's not charging enough. He's charging too much. And by the way, Donald Trump isn't charging anybody anything. He's just promoting this God Bless the USA Bible. That's what Donald Trump is doing. But you know what Donald Trump also did? And I think this was really at the heart of all of this. And if you go to my website, you'll be able to see this, exactly what Trump said in that video. It's a 3-minute video. We're not going to have time to play it here because I want to get to your calls on this. I think they're upset by what President Trump said. And here's what he had to say. That the Bill of Rights and the Declaration of Independence and the Pledge of Allegiance and the Bible are very important to him. And he says, I want to have a lot of people have it. You have to have it for your heart and for your soul. He says, many of you have never read the founding documents. You don't know the liberties and the rights you have as Americans and how you are being threatened to lose those rights. It's happening all the time. It's very sad. It's a sad thing that's going on in our country, but we're going to get it turned around. Religion and Christianity are the biggest things missing from this country. Do you agree with that? I do. I truly believe we need to bring them back, and we have to bring them back fast. I think it's one of the biggest problems we have. That's why our country is going haywire. We've lost religion in our country. All Americans need a Bible in their home, and I have many. It's my favorite book. It's a lot of people's favorite book. It's my favorite book. The Bible is a reminder that the biggest thing we have to bring back America and to make America great again is our religion. Religion is so important. It's so missing. But it's going to come back, and it's going to come back strong, just like our country is going to come back strong. Do you believe that, ladies and gentlemen? You see, I believe what really angers these people is not so much the Bible. It's the fact that Trump wants you to read your founding documents so that you know what your rights are. I think that's ultimately what really angers these people. But this is insane, what they're saying about President Trump. And it's all untrue. It's all untrue. And shame on all of those people out there, and I'm not going to name the names. You can call it if you want to name a name. You're more than happy to do it. I don't want to give these people any credibility. We got to take a break here. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. And I think we ought to say thank you to President Trump for reminding us of what the most important thing is in this country. Don't you? We'll be right back. Legacy Precious Metals has a revolutionary new online platform that allows you to invest in real gold and silver online. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and in just a few easy steps, you can open an account online, select your metals of choice, and choose to have them stored in a vault or shipped to your door. You'll have access to a dashboard where you can track your portfolio growth in real time, anytime. And you'll see transparent pricing on every coin and bar. This puts you in complete control of your money. The platform is free to sign up for. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com and open your account and see this new investing platform for yourself. Gold hedges against inflation and against a volatile stock market. A true diversified portfolio isn't just more stocks and bonds, but different asset classes. And this new platform allows you to make investments in gold and silver, no matter how small or large, with a few clicks. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com to get started. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com or call 866-649-0304. That number again, 866-649-0304, and start investing today. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us today. Let's go to the phones, 901-260-5926. Michael in Maryland, WCBM, our great affiliate there. Hi, Michael. What's on your mind?
Hi, Todd. I just wanted to say I'm happy that President Trump has endorsed a version of the Bible, the King James Version. It's a good translation of the Bible. And what's special about the King James Version of the Bible is you can get like the Strong's Concordance, which has every word in the Bible, and you can find out what that word means in the original language.
Okay, well, so I don't want to get into, Michael, I don't want to get into a theological dissertation here, because really the focus of the conversation is whether or not Trump should be out there promoting a Bible and for Americans to pray or to read their Bible.
I'm glad that he did direct people to the Bible.
All right. Well, I appreciate you calling in, Michael. Thank you for that. 901-260-5926. By the way, coming up in the next hour, Lee Greenwood is going to be here to talk about all of this and the controversy. He'll also be on my Newsmax TV show tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. Here's CNN, cut 19.
It is remarkable glimpse of the path we could have been on, that if the Electoral College had bounced slightly differently in 2016, Donald Trump would have been a TV pitch man for the past decade, and he would be selling reversible mortgages, dietary supplements. It is a reminder, however, of how fraudulent all the claims about his wealth are. These are not the actions of very wealthy people. Very wealthy people are living on the interest upon the interest of their municipal bonds. They do not need to go on TV and sell Bibles to credulous supporters. By the way, the Bible, of course, is available in almost every translation you could want for free online. You can read it every day for nothing.
Ashley, do you want to weigh in here?
Not particularly, but I will. I guess, you know, to take a slightly more serious tone on this, is this is a preview, again, of how Trump sees the way he wants to rule the world, and through an authoritative theology, which is one way, which is, as I'm a Christian, but, you know, the Bible is the root in which we are going to govern this country, even though this country was founded on the separation of church and state. And so it's funny, and yet it's not, because it is a tell that if he wins in November and becomes president, he could not just say, like, I'm selling Bibles, but I'm mandating that in our schools, everyone has a Bible. In these institutions, everyone has a Bible. And that's not what America is about. There are people from all different faiths. And that's the beauty of this patchwork cloth that we have that Donald Trump doesn't really seem to appreciate.
Well, there's one particular religion, and its followers have a tendency to blow things up. And I'm talking about the Islamic radicals who claim to be Muslim. And we certainly saw that happen on 9/11 in the name of the religion of peace. The Islamic radicals flew the jetliners into the buildings. But they don't want to talk about that. Instead, they attack Christians who do not do that, by the way. Just want to point that out. I know some people, they get a little nervous about that, but it's the truth. It really is. And the fact of the matter is, the Judeo-Christian teachings, that's what created our founding documents. It's really that simple. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. Our God-given freedoms are facing unrelenting attacks. It's a battle for truth, and the only way we win is if we stand together. Hi, I'm Todd Stearns, and thankfully, Alliance Defending Freedom has been defending our rights for 30 years and winning. Right now, they're involved in two critical cases before the Supreme Court. They're suing the FDA for endangering the health and safety of women and girls. And in the second case, they're assisting the state of Idaho to defend its law protecting the lives of women and their unborn children against the Biden administration's attempt to override the law and force doctors to perform abortions. And they need your help. With your best gift, you courageously join ADF in fighting critical Supreme Court cases against government lawlessness and help defend our cherished freedoms. So call 855-417-6556 right now or go to toddstearns.com and click on the ADF banner. With your help, I've already pledged to raise $17,000 by March 31st for ADF. Go to toddstearns.com or call 855-417-6556 to make your best offer right now. I know with your help, we can beat that goal and help make a generational difference for freedom. All right, by the way, our radiothon concludes on Friday, but we need you to give now to our friends at Alliance Defending Freedom. You can do that by going to our website, toddstearns.com. You can stand with ADF. They were in the Supreme Court yesterday, arguments over the FDA and these very dangerous abortion drugs. Give them a helping hand. You can do that by going to toddstearns.com. And click on that Stand with ADF banner at the very top of the page, and you'll be able to help us fight for our God-given freedoms. Oh, somebody sent me this. You know, I live in a suburb of Memphis, and we have a great police department, by the way. They keep us safe. They're very well-funded. We have just enough people to stop the thugs from coming across the border there from Memphis. So anyway, our school system, though, is run by radical leftists, and it's terrible. I'm genuinely shocked by all that. I really am, but it's true, and it's unfortunate. The Germantown Municipal School District is the school system, and you might remember, what was it? Has it been a year? Maybe it was earlier this year. They tried to rename Good Friday, and they wanted to get rid of Easter Monday. I think they ended up keeping Good Friday, and they got rid of Easter Monday, so they split the baby on that one. So anyway, somebody sent me some intel this morning from the middle school. It's Houston Middle School there in near Memphis, and they had a big Muslim party. It's a Ramadan party, and so they did this for the faculty and the staff, and they were called together. And they were given Middle Eastern food, and they were presented all this information. It was a conversation on how to support the Muslim students there at Houston Middle School. And a very astute observer noticed that some of the table decorations, there was a big, huge buffet, and it looked very delicious. The food looked very tasty. And yes, no, I even eat hummus. Yeah, I like hummus. I just close my eyes and don't look at it when I'm dipping the little pita chip in there. So, but it's very tasty. So anyway, somebody sent me a photograph that said, hey, Starnes, take a close look at what's on this display. And so I did, and I have to tell you, folks, I was stunned. So the message that had been placed on one of the tables, and it looked like the buffet table, it said, it referenced the war on Gaza right? The war on Gaza. That's how the Houston Middle School framed the war between Israel and Hamas. And this is a direct quote. Muslim students in particular are experiencing more emotional distress due to the war on Gaza. While we know when our next meal is, people in Gaza are dying of starvation. Our hearts are heavy. Ask your students how they are doing and how you can support them from time to time. This was on the official Ramadan greeting at Houston Middle School in Germantown, Tennessee. Teachers were also encouraged to accommodate, quote, your fasting Muslim students and to provide a place for them to pray. Wait a second. What's going on here? Houston Middle School teachers and staff were also encouraged to be flexible with assignments and changing the dates of classroom celebrations. Now, I'm just curious, what sort of classroom celebration do you think they would need to change the date of? Could it be something called Easter? I'm just asking. In other words, don't be bringing them chocolate bunnies to school. Keep that central barbecue at home, kids. Don't be eating the ribs. Ribs. Anyway, the Ramadan greeting also asked teachers to refrain from handing out candy and food in class. And they also want the teachers to allow Muslim students to take breaks. I got a question here. I have several. What kind of special liberties are they giving the Jewish and the Christian kids? Anybody want to talk about that at Houston Middle School in Germantown, Tennessee? What's going on here? Now, the school is very excited about all of this. As a matter of fact, they posted this on their official Facebook page, and they were going on and on and on about how this was a sign of diversity. This was a celebration of diversity at the middle school. Now, what I find fascinating is that nobody's really upset about this in the school district. They've got no problems with it. But man almighty, did they have a problem with calling Good Friday Good Friday. I want to know, where are the people at the middle school? Where are the people in the school district that are just, you know, because, you know, everything to do with Christianity is a problem in our public education system. Oh, you can't call it Christmas. Can't call it Easter. Can't do that. Might offend people. Can't do it. Okay, where are the people in the Germantown Municipal School District that are calling for the changing of the name Ramadan? Where is that? Any of those people out there? I mean, again, if the Christian holidays are going to be offend your sensibilities, why would the Muslim holidays not offend your sensibilities? Unless, of course, this is really not about offending sensibilities as much as it is hating Christians. I'm just curious about that. As a matter of fact, here's what the middle school wrote about this huge Muslim celebration. Thank you so much for providing the yummy samosas. Ooh, samosas. I like a good samosa. And an overview of Ramadan to our faculty and staff. So they literally brought people in to educate the teachers and staff about Ramadan. Are they doing that for Good Friday? Are they bringing in the local pastor to talk about what Good Friday is and what Maundy Thursday is? And are they doing any of that? They going to be hauling out a delicious honey baked ham for the teachers and staff? Really? Are they doing that? We get to partake in a delicious treat. We are reminded of the best ways to support our Muslim students while they celebrate this important holiday. Okay, where are the postings about Easter? Because, you know, I don't want to get into a religion thing here, but, you know, Easter, Good Friday, an important weekend for Christians. We are so grateful to have an amazingly diverse Mustang family. and we love learning about traditions and celebrations. Really? Are you sure about that or just certain celebrations? I'm just curious. But I want to go back to the other issue. Who signed off on anti-Israel propaganda being shared in that public school, that taxpayer-funded school? Who gave the A-OK for that to happen? Who said it was? Because, again, facts do matter. And the fact is that that war was actually started when Hamas, the Muslims, invaded Israel and slaughtered hundreds of innocent people, just hundreds of them. Those facts were left out of the Ramadan greeting. So again, just want to point out here the hypocrisy and the fact that this is actually happening in, of all places, my town where I live, Germantown, Tennessee. You got a problem with this, ladies and gentlemen? Is this a concern that you have that perhaps your school is more friendly to Muslims than anybody else? Those kids are getting preferential treatment? What about treating all the students the same? Again, just thoughts. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Want to play some audio. This is from former President George W. Bush. I love what he had to say here about Israel. Cut 16.
It's a democracy, and in a democracy, the people's voices matter, and there's going to be a weariness. You watch. The world's going to be, okay, let's negotiate. You know, Israel's got to negotiate. They're not going to negotiate. These people have played their cards. They want to kill as many Israelis as they can, and negotiating with killers is not an option for the elected government of Israel. And so we're just going to have to remain steadfast, but it's not going to take long for people. That's gone on too long. Surely there's a way to settle this through negotiations. Both sides are guilty. My view is one side is guilty, and it's not Israel.
Good for you, Mr. President. Thank you, President Bush, saying what needs to be said. Good for you, sir. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. By the way, we got alerted earlier today. We had to do some maintenance work on the Todd Starn Show store. The page is now back up and running. Many of you were asking, hey, can I get a signed copy of Twilight's Last Gleaming? Yes, you can. And by the way, it makes a great Mother's Day and Father's Day present as well. And I'm very happy to personalize those and inscribe those to your mom, your dad, whoever. And also want to encourage you to get a copy for your kids. Let your teenager read Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? They are going to learn a lot about the history of this nation that they will not learn in their school textbooks. And I write it in such a way that the kids are going to love it. And they're going to be able to get a lot out of it. So, again, go to ToddStarns.com and get yourself a signed copy right now of Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? Got to take a break. We'll be right back. Mike Lindell and MyPillow employees want to thank my listeners for your continued support. And to thank you, they have an overstock clearance sale right now for the best prices ever when you use the promo code STARNS. And you get free shipping on your entire order. Get 50% off the MyPillow 2.0 and the brand new flannel sheets that just arrived. Won't last long, folks. Get a six-pack towel set for only $29.98 and take advantage of the free shipping on larger items like mattresses and mattress toppers, 100% made in the USA, on sale for as low as $99.99. Everything goes on sale, from the brand new kitchen towels that have the same technology as the bath towels. They absorb dog beds, blankets, couch pillows, so much more. To get the best offers ever, go to MyPillow.com and use promo code STARNS or call 800-839-8506 and get free shipping on your entire order while supplies last. You can't make this up. This is insane. So today, the mayors of the most dangerous cities in America are in Memphis, Tennessee, the most dangerous city in America. This is, folks, we're not making this up. So here's the story. The mayor of Memphis, Paul Young, who is black, and he makes a big deal of that because he says he wants to restore the black swagger and soul of the city. where people are getting shot and murdered every single day. Here is cut number five.
Oh, it feels good. We're going to have mayors from 18 different cities that will be here talking about different challenges in their communities and how they are approaching challenges with crime. And you just, it's just another step in our efforts. We believe that we can learn from each other. And with Memphis being the largest majority black city in the nation, we thought that it was important to invite black mayors from across the country here to talk about this challenge.
So no white mayors were invited. This is what, this is insane. Yo, man, you a little bit too pale face for this meeting. Sorry. You can't, if you're white, you're not invited. Holy cow. So you can't make this stuff up. So anyway, you've got Mayor Eric Adams here from New York City. You've got Brandon Johnson, the mayor of Chicago. And oh, by the way, here's Mayor Johnson, cut 14.
So if defunding the police isn't the answer, what do you plan to do with your resources? Is it less money or more money to police departments?
Well, it's more money towards the areas of needs, right? And as I mentioned before, you know, we're working to double the amount of young people that we hire, not just for summer jobs, but for year-round positions.
Okay. So, and again, here in Memphis, the mayor's solution was bringing all the gang leaders together and saying, hey, look, what is it going to take for you guys to stop shooting us and stealing our cars? And they said they wanted more activities down at the community center. Because, I mean, even if, look, and this makes sense, right? I mean, even if you're a gang member, you want to be physically fit. You want to have the tight bottom there, right? So you got to do the Zumba's classes and the whatnot, Pilates. It's all very important. You know, you've got to look the part. So Karen Bass is going to be here from Los Angeles, and the mayor is calling this the Black Mayors Coalition on Crime. He says it's an initiative to harness the collective power of black mayors across the nation to fight crime. Now, I don't mean to throw water here on Mayor Young and his initiative, but I'm wondering if this is actually a good look, that all of the most deadly cities in America are actually led by black men and women. You can't make it up. That's the message, right? He said, we're bringing the mayors of the most dangerous cities in America to Memphis. And all the mayors happen to be black. Now, you can't read anything into that. And it would be wrong to do that. But the optics here of what the mayor is trying to do, that it's insane. And nobody's willing to point that out except for yours truly. So anyway, it just seems to me that you would want to invite, if you're going to have this kind of a gathering, because the whole gathering is, well, we've got to figure out a way to make sure that our city is not the most violent in America. The problem is everybody who is at this meeting hasn't been able to figure that out. Otherwise, they would have already done it, right? Are you following the line? Are you following this? I'm just saying. So would it kill the group to bring in a white guy just from a safe city? Oh, here's one. We've got there's a new mayor in. Oh, this might work. The new mayor of Wichita, she's a libertarian. She's conservative, and she's also Asian American. Oh, I'm being told that would be worse than bringing the white guy. Okay, I see. All right. I don't know about these things. I'm learning as we go here. But in all seriousness, is there a black Republican mayor of a safe city in America? And if there is, why not invite that person to come to the gathering? Why would you intentionally exclude mayors of some of the safest cities in America? Because the other optic here and the other thing that they're unintentionally conveying is that if you have a majority black city, your crime is going to be off the charts. That's what they're insinuating here. And I don't think they mean to do that. But again, this is what happens when you're working with Democrats. because everything goes back to race. Everything. They're not concerned about stopping crime. As a matter of fact, these black mayors don't even believe that all black lives matter. And we know that because most of the victims, an overwhelming number of the victims of black crime in America, are in fact black people. But nobody wants to talk about the black victims of crime. That's against the rules. You're not allowed to have that kind of a conversation in America. But God forbid a honky shows up at the Black Mayors Coalition on Crime Conference in Memphis, Tennessee. It's pathetic is what it is. And shame on all these mayors because they've got big problems in their cities. Huge problems. But they don't want to talk about it. Instead, they just want to sit around and they want to talk about skin color. In the meantime, more people are getting shot on the streets. That's what it is. I mean, really. Come on now. Do better, Mayor Young. All right. As for the rest of you, I hope you brought Kevlar because and be sure to take all the valuables out of your cars. Crazy. All right. We got to take a break. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere if you're on hold. We'll be right back.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Live from the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to the big show. Great to have you with us today as we broadcast border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. I want to go right to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. We have a very special guest joining us, Lee Greenwood, who gave this great nation the most beautiful anthem of all time, God Bless the USA, and has been promoting the God Bless the USA Bible for quite some time. I know we had Lee on the show a while back, a long time ago, talking about it, and I thought, who better to talk about this crazy controversy and the attacks on President Trump than Lee Greenwood himself? Lee, always great to have you with us. Hope you're doing well.
I'm doing great, Todd. Thank you very much. I am in Tennessee as well.
Just right up Interstate 40. It's either a three-hour drive or 7 hours, depending on traffic.
That's true.
Lee, I saw the video that President Trump put out yesterday, which I'd like to get your reaction, first of all, to the video, because I just thought the president's message was really terrific, that we've got to turn back to God as a country.
I love that. And as a matter of fact, his demeanor was really good. I like the soft tones that he talked to the public about coming back to faith. And I've been promoting this Bible, as you mentioned, for some years. And the Trump family are great friends of mine. And I was so excited that he would endorse the Bible and tell America we need to pray again, get back to faith values. So I was just so excited to see it. I'm happy for him. And, of course, the Trump haters immediately attacked both of us. And that's what you're going to get, you know. But I am the person that I think is responsible for a lot of that. And I am going to stand by President Trump and make sure that that he's the man in charge here coming up after this election in November.
Well, good for you. And look, I have a copy of this particular Bible, and And we get it, and everybody really gets it, Lee, because they're acting like there's never been such a thing as a gift Bible, that there have been these special Bible studies. You know, they're accusing President Trump of writing his own version of the Bible. This is just outrageous.
Absolutely. I as a matter of fact, I signed one of our Bibles to him, and then he signed one back to me, which I received yesterday, which is in a very hallowed place now on my desk.
How did that process work? Do you just call him up and say, "Hey, would you help us promote the Bible?"
Actually, I had nothing to do with it. Their office called us and said, "We're actually going to do a video," and I didn't know when it was coming. I was actually very pleased when I saw it. So it was something totally separate of what we've been doing, and I think it's inspired just the fact the president knows the conservative base needs to make sure that we all faith-based as well. And I know there's some good timing here, but I'm proud of him for doing it.
By the way, I love how they were attacking you. This is just a side note. I love how they were attacking the price as if it's untoward to actually charge for a Bible. Clearly, they've never been in a Barnes & Noble. But in reality, Lee, those study Bibles at Lifeway Christian Store, which is online, those are going for like $130, $140. So it's a pretty good deal. And it's a beautiful Bible, by the way.
Yeah, if you're talking business, basically, it's a very, very economical and beautiful product. And so I don't look at it that way. Of course, the King James Version of the Bible is the one we prefer here at our home. And I've given one to the reverend of our church, and we're just like, we're all on the same page about this. I think the people from the left are going to automatically hate us regardless what we do, but I'm surprised that anybody would actually take to the media to say, we hate you for exposing the Bible as a instrument of America, because we are a Christian nation, and I hope we stay that way.
You see, Lee, I'm with you, and we were talking about this in the last hour. I think they're more concerned and more upset over what President Trump said about how this nation needs
Absolutely.
To return back to God.
Absolutely. And there's nothing I'm going to do to change it. My sister lives in Boise, Idaho. And the first thing she did this morning when she saw the video yesterday, she said, well, people are breaking your records and they're hating you for having this Bible. Are you selling it? And I said, yes, we are. As a matter of fact, you can buy one a lot cheaper than any other Bible you probably ever possessed. And I'm proud of the fact that the president has now said, let's turn to faith. I think that may be something we're missing in this country.
I'm curious, you know, being in the Nashville area there, you know, I've got a new book that came out last week, and I talked about how there's a chapter called Dixie's Done Gone Woke, and talking about how we've had so many people moving into the area from places like California, and unfortunately, they're bringing a lot of their values with them, so much to the point that, you know, several years ago, Governor Mike Huckabee got in trouble with the Country Music Foundation because he still believes in God and traditional marriage and things of that nature. And I'm wondering, has that been hard? Have you seen that, Lee, happening in the Nashville area?
Well, we have a lot of California plates here, that's for sure, and they're escaping that state just like a lot of rats getting out of the sewer. I don't blame them, you know, but I just hope they don't bring their values that they had there here. I will say this, that I think most of the people that are moving here are probably the conservatives. I don't think they're the liberals. They're going to stay there no matter what.
Oh, well, that's good news. I'm glad to hear that. Of course, Memphis, we're the blue dot in the entire volunteer state. So it's unfortunate our politics on this end of the state. But again,
yeah, we'll pray the Mississippi doesn't take you out.
Thank you for that, Lee. Appreciate that. God bless the USABible.com, ladies and gentlemen. If you'd love to get a beautiful, it's just a wonderful and beautifully done Bible. God bless the USABible.com. And love that it's in the King James Version. Lee, you know, when you travel around this country, and I sense something big and exciting is about to happen in this country come November. What's your take on the mood of the country right now?
You know, you would imagine that most of my audiences are conservative. I mean, they're people who think like I do. Outside of that, we, of course, have conversations with City Chamber of Commerce, the military, the National Guard in most states, because that's kind of the people that I know and trust and love. I don't think it's going to be a wave, but I think we just have to address improprieties in election process. We don't want to become a third world country. We have to have honest elections, and I don't believe the last one was. And we have to address that. And I don't think anybody can ignore that nor disagree with us. Even on the left, on the right, we have to say this has to be a legal process. And if the left says no, well, then shame on them, because they're driving us to oblivion.
Yeah. Well, you're right about that. All right, Lee, we're going to leave it there. I know you're going to be on my show tonight on Newsmax TV, and we're excited to continue the conversation then. GodBlessUSABible.com is the website, folks, and we have a direct link to it on our website as well. Lee, always appreciate you.
Todd, thanks very much. I'll talk to you this afternoon.
All right, sounds great. The great Lee Greenwood, everybody, and there you go. Now you know the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to say. And again, get yourself one of the, it's just a beautiful Bible, and I love it because all the founding document, everything is there, and I love that, including the maps in the back, so the all in King James. What's the old Southern Gospel song? They used to sing this at Dollywood back in the day. If John the Baptist used the King James Version, it's good enough for me. There was also another Southern Gospel song. I thank God for the preacher who scared the hell out of me. I think that may have been Pentecostal. All right, here's the deal. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, opening up the phone lines, 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. So yesterday, ladies and gentlemen, Alliance Defending Freedom at the Supreme Court arguing that the Food and Drug Administration is endangering the lives of girls and women by removing its own safety standards from these abortion pills. Other pro-life groups also turned out to try and put the pressure on FDA. ADF's Julie Mark Blake was there, and here's what she has to say.
The FDA simply disregarded the science, it disregarded the evidence, it disregarded the law. And it's time for the Supreme Court to say that the FDA needs to put women's health and safety first. It's time to tell the FDA to do its job. So we're asking the U.S. Supreme Court to hold the FDA accountable for its callous disregard of women's health and safety.
3 more days. That's all we have to raise our goal of $17,000 for Alliance Defending Freedom so they can keep fighting these kinds of cases. You see, they are literally fighting in the Supreme Court. And that's the reason I'm asking you to go right now to ToddStearns.com and make a generous gift today. Click on the Stand with ADF banner. Because folks in big cities, small towns, it doesn't really matter. Activist government leaders are pushing a woke agenda. We were talking about them in the last hour of the show. So again, ToddStearns.com. Click on the Alliance Defending Freedom banner at the top of the page, or you can give them a call right now, 855-417-6556. That's 855-417-6556. We'll be right back. All right, good to have you back with us, everybody. Hope you are doing well. By the way, the squawking magpies over at The View are really upset about this Trump Bible. Alyssa Farah Griffin. You know, what I find truly sleazy and snakish are all these people who we wouldn't even know who they are. But Trump hired them, they got jobs, and then they turn around after the White House and they get a cushy job at a place like The View, and then they turn around and they stab Trump in the back. I've got no respect for people like that. Anyway, Alyssa Farah Griffin, one of the squawking magpies, talking about Trump. He's selling these for $60, and I'm a Christian. Really, Miss Griffin? Really? Okay. As soon as I heard that price tag, I think of the persecuted Christians around the world who risk their lives to have one page of the Bible to read scripture in places like China and Saudi Arabia, Syria, where you can't practice your faith openly, and he's using it to profit off of. That tells you all you need to know about the mean, big, bad orange man with very large hands. Shameful. Go to commercial break, Whoopi. These people literally, and this is what gets me about Alyssa Farah Griffin. She's clueless. And, well, I don't know. I take that back. I don't think she's a dingbat. I think she's an intentional dingbat. She knows. She knows that many Bibles cost $70, $80, $90, $100. She knows. They make you think this is something unusual. But the reason we're focusing on this, folks, is I want you to see the lies and the misrepresentation of the facts and the truth. That's what this is all about. All right. Let's go to the phones here. 901-260-5926. Rich in Georgia. What's on your mind today, Rich?
Hey, Todd. I normally don't ever disagree with you, but I think I've got a little issue here. The abortion pill that you're talking about, if you think about it, maybe we could get it legalized for all Democrats and then have the CDC enforce them to take it. And then in 2-3 generations, our problems go away. Just a thought.
So you're saying here that that we should, that the left should not be allowed to procreate?
Well, I'm just saying, if they want that drug, you know, be careful what you ask for. Let's let them have it approved, and
no.
Can take it.
Look, I understand, but here's the challenge, Rich. The problem is, a lot of these children, they're birthed into these liberal families, and they realize, holy crap, and then they become conservative. So you don't want to unintentionally abort conservative fetuses or feti.
That's true. I'm just being facetious. It just shows how ridiculous the left is.
No, and the reason why you can do that, Rich, is because you have a brain and you know how to use it. Because there will be people right now, somebody is sitting, one of these pimply-faced, oily little people living in their parents' basement, and they're saying, Todd Starnes is calling for the abortion of liberal babies.
That's right. That's right. Appreciate your show.
All right. Thank you very much, Rich. Thanks for calling. These people don't even know how to spell facetious, much less what it means. We're talking about the little oily, pimply-faced people from Media Matters and Mediaite and all of those folks. They're very bad people. All right, 901-260-5926. Now, I want to play some audio from Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. Cut 17.
Hey, look at clumsy Gerald. The animals all sneered. Giraffes can't dance, you silly fool. Oh, Gerald, you're so weird.
Excuse me, coughed the cricket.
Who'd seen Gerald earlier on?
But sometimes when you're different, you just need a different song.
They shouted, it's a miracle. We must be in a dream. Gerald's the best dancer that we've ever, ever seen.
All right, those are drag queens, ladies and gentlemen, and they were all part of a brand new video, a tourism video from Philadelphia, showing Drag Queen Story Hour in front of Independence Hall. And what I find interesting about this is, you know, they get gussied up, and they put on all the makeup, and they shave their legs, and they do all of this. And yet they don't change their voice, right? Like the Dylan Mulvaney's of the world. Have you noticed that? I mean, when you go back and you listen, you would think, oh, those sound like regular guys. But they're not. They're guys in sequin gowns and stiletto heels reading stories to children in front of Independence Hall, which is also where Darth Brandon and the Temple of Doom happened. Remember that? That speech from President Biden with the blood red lights. Yeah, it was kind of freaky. So anyway, the Philadelphia Department of Tourism is now using this as an official, like, come to Philadelphia. Let your child convert with a drag queen. No, I'm one person said, I guess they're marketing to the groomers who hate America demographic. And I will just say that the children are looking at these drag queens in the video, and many of them look very, very nervous and uncomfortable, right? Like, why are these dudes wearing dresses and fake eyelashes? And why they're all in these weird outfits. It's all very strange. But anyway, this is the official tourism video for Philadelphia. So they don't want you to come and see all the founding fathers sites. They don't want you to see the Liberty Bell. They want you to see these dudes who are dressed up, wearing makeup, cavorting with the children. it does make you wonder what's going on. Maybe a little too much brotherly love, if you know what I mean. All right, we got to take a break here. Don't forget, folks, head over to ToddStearns.com, the store, and we have the brand new book, and I want to be able to sign a copy for you. You can do that. You are not going to find it anywhere cheaper than the Todd Stearns store right now. Also, Father's Day, Mother's Day coming up, and now it's a great chance for you to also get a copy for your mom or dad, grandma or grandpa, and you can do that at ToddStearns.com. We will personalize them for you and autograph those. I spent a good 45 minutes this morning signing autograph plates for books and loving every second of it. I can't feel my thumbs, but it's all good. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us today. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Well, there is a story out of Minnesota, this coming from the MinnesotaReformer.com. A group of Catholics, Lutherans, Jews, and Muslims trying to persuade state lawmakers to restore an exemption in the Minnesota Human Rights Act that protects religious groups and schools against claims of gender identity-based discrimination. I want to bring into the conversation from the Minnesota State House, Representative Harry Niska. Representative Niska, great to have you on the show today.
Thank you, Todd. Thanks for having me.
All right. Well, let's just jump right into this. So what is the issue here? And right now, under the Human Rights Act, what are the concerns that people of faith might have?
Well, the concern is that we had a religious exemption in our state Human Rights Act that protected churches and synagogues and mosques from having the sexual orientation type of issues weaponized against them to control their hiring and admissions decisions. And last year, when gender identity was added as a separate category or a separate protected class, the religious exemption wasn't updated to also cover that. And so we basically have an unprecedented intrusion into religious autonomy of, you know, religious freedom as it relates to the core of those kinds of religious institutions. We're not talking about people out in the marketplace. We're talking about, you know, like I said, churches and mosques and synagogues. And so, as you can expect, there's a broad coalition of Minnesota faith communities that are coming together and saying, hey, this they hoped it was an oversight. They wanted the Democrats to fix it, and the Democrats are refusing to fix it.
So, and you actually pointed that out in one of the sessions when you said, hey, look, you know, are you guys aware that this happened? It may have been an oversight. And they flat out told you this was not an oversight.
Exactly. So there's been two committee hearings already, one in the House and one in the Senate. In the House Judiciary Committee, which I am a member on, I moved to amend the Department of Human Rights' policy bill to also fix this problem. I offered that maybe this was just an oversight, hopefully, you know, reaching out with an open hand, and was told that it was not an oversight. And even worse, there were four faith leaders that came to testify on behalf of this amendment, and the Democrats dressed them down, berated them, told them that they were hateful and that they were challenging the identity of trans or non-binary individuals in the state and attacking them just by asking that they be left alone, that the state not enforce its view of gender identity on their religious institutions. There was a similar hearing in the Senate, and then both of those were party line votes. And then just on Monday, I have a standalone bill on this issue, and we as Republicans moved to suspend the rules to bring that up to an immediate vote, and the Democrats blocked it. They tabled that motion, and so I guess we're now sort of in indefinite limbo while the Democrats negotiate amongst themselves whether You know, whether the gender radicals are going to win or whether I think there are some cooler heads in the party who would like to not take on this issue, this kind of a, this blatant of an attack on.
Well, let me jump in here. Let me get a word in here. I don't think that's going to happen. I think the Democrats, they want this to happen. They want to silence the churches. They want to punish the churches. And this is one of the ways to do that. And I'm curious, Representative Niska, what happens? Let's just say a pastor's up in a pulpit of the First Lutheran Church, and he says, you know what, the Bible says there's no such thing as transgenderism. What could happen to that pastor?
Well, you know, I'm more concerned, at least as an immediate thing, about whether that First Lutheran Church can choose not to hire the pastor who shows up and is clearly not in alignment with their beliefs as it relates to gender identity. That's the immediate threat. I'm not sure that there is a way under the Minnesota Human Rights Act to sue the pastor just for his speaking, although we did also pass a bias registry that is housed at the same Department of Human Rights where they are, you know, collecting up what they define as hate speech. I'm sure that pastor is going to end up on their internal database at that department. But at least right now, the pastor is not going to get sued. It's more about whether that school can, you know, the school that's part of that church can hire people that align with its values, and whether the state of Minnesota is going to try to punish them for it.
So let's say the First Lutheran Church has a Lutheran school and, you know, they don't hire transgender people or whatever. So you're saying at that point that could become problematic for the school under this, whatever this rule is.
Well, I will say it's not at that point. We're already at that point. There is a open investigation right now, a complaint brought in the Minnesota Department of Human Rights that's sitting there open as it relates to a religious school's hiring practices and choice not to hire a specific person based, and that person is claiming that it's based on their gender identity. So this is the state of Minnesota is currently leaving all of these faith organizations open to it. The Democrats are refusing to change it. It's only Republicans so far that have been standing up on behalf of the faith community to try to reinstate this. Again, consensus position. Everybody has always said we're hands off churches and mosques and synagogues when it comes to questions like this. But that's like you said, there are loud voices in the Democratic Party that clearly do want this attack on faith institutions in Minnesota.
This is just shocking. I mean, this is really a form of totalitarianism, it seems to me.
That's exactly the word I used in that committee hearing on February 29th.
Wow. All right. So right now, this is the law of the land. Is that right?
That is how our statutes read. I have tried to point out to the media and to Democrats that the state of Minnesota isn't going to win the federal lawsuit that's coming on this question. But that is how our statutes set up right now. It's how the Department of Human Rights seems to be proceeding. They haven't dismissed that complaint yet that I mentioned. And so the faith community here is very, very worried about it.
All right. Well, we appreciate you shining some light on it here on this program. And this is a shocking thing. And truly, it is an unprecedented attack on religious groups there in Minnesota. Harry Niska, thank you very much for coming on the program today.
Thank you, sir.
Wow. So there you have it. Democrats, they stripped out the exemptions that would protect churches and also synagogues and mosques. But let's get real. Can we just get real for a moment? You think any of these LGBT folks are going to go and sue a Muslim mosque for not hiring a transgender Muslim? Yeah, I don't think so. No, they're coming, and no offense here to the synagogues, they're not coming after you folks. See, they're coming after the Christians on this. So they're going to be targeting the Catholics and the Lutherans. That's where all of this is heading. And the idea now that there are investigations underway, and did you hear what he said? There's now a bias registry? I have to tell you, our show is broadcast on a couple of stations in Minnesota, so there's a pretty good chance that I'm already on that list. They may have a whole section on Todd Starnes. But the idea that they're creating a registry where if, for example, your pastor were to get out there and say something from the pulpit about, I don't know, gay marriage or whatever, that your pastor could actually end up on this bias registry. And you have to wonder, okay, well, what's the point of that? The point is that one day they're going to criminalize that speech. That's what that's all about. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. Our telephone number, by the way, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. By the way, I've been following the RFK Jr. stuff, and I'm one of the reasons we didn't have RFK on the show and we didn't talk about all of this is because the guy's a raging leftist. And it was baffling to me that you had all of these people that claim to be America First MAGA conservatives that were suggesting and were fearful that RFK being in the race would hurt Donald Trump. In what world are they living in? This guy is a radical leftist. He is more in tune with people like AOC than he is the America First crowd. I mean, this is just insane. So they had the big announcement over the, was it yesterday, where RFK announced his vice presidential running mate. Everybody's really just in a tizzy over this. It was weird, too. It started out with, it was like a two-hour event, and it started out with the, who is it? They had Tonto from the the Mukawakihiki Indian tribe. Did I get that? Did I pronounce that correctly? It was... All right, thank you, Dylan. I was surprised. I was practicing on it in the commercial break. Anyway, the Mokahukawiki Waka 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 Indian tribe, they had a big, like, land acknowledgement ceremony to kick things off. Well, I cut number three. How much longer does this thing go on? Is there a second verse? Jeez, a Lou. Oh, I know this song. Hi-ho, hi-ho, it's off to work we go. No, wrong song. My apologies. Okay, thank you, Dylan. I think we get the gist of it. Wow. So there you have it, folks, the Mukawakamiki, Waka 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 Indian tribe. And I'm not understanding what that was for. Was that like to reclaim the land, or were they acknowledging that we took the land from the Mukawakahaki, Waka 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 Indian tribe? Or was there, I didn't understand the purpose of this. Years ago, Dylan, I was invited to Alaska. And for an event, and they had a very lavish little dinner in my honor. It was a very nice thing. Had I think the heads of the BP oil in Alaska, all those people were there, a bunch of politicians. And they wanted to honor me, and they had some sort of an Indian gal, Pocahontas or somebody, and came out. And I'm in such trouble. So anyway, she was dressed in the full Indian garb. I mean, it looked like the Lone Ranger. And so she's out there, and they were doing a traditional Indian dance or something, or indigenous people dance. And she was covered from head to toe in feathers. And I'm sitting there I'm in the front row. And so anyway, she positions herself and she's got her hands out in front like she's holding on to something. But there's, well, oh, it was a tambourine. I forgot about that. And the tambourine, or was it a bongo? I don't know. They weren't banging the bongos. That was somebody else. All right. So anyway, it's like this little tambourine thing. And the tambourine had feathers on it. And so she's getting ready, and she was going to be doing this traditional Indian dance. And as soon as the music came on, I'm thinking, wait a second, this sounds like a Stephen Curtis Chapman song. And sure enough, it's a Stephen Curtis Chapman. It took me a minute. And because the singer was talking about, I'm driving down the road, and then I realized all of a sudden it was not some sort of an Indian dance. It was like a pantomime of the song, because she used the tambourine like a steering wheel and was driving. And so then at some point starts just jumping around. And I mean, she got good hang time and just, you know, up in the air and like she was slam dunking something. And then just drops to the ground and starts to writhe on the ground, and feathers are flying all over the place. And I'm watching this, and I'm, you know, you're the guest of honor. What do you, I mean, you're like, woo, yes, way to go. Hey, I'm just, you know, thank you. I was being cultured right before my very eyes. And so anyway, as I'm listening to the Stephen Curtis Chapman, ancient, you know, Native American indigenous song performance, one of the feathers lands on my face, and I just start sneezing uncontrollably because I've got indigenous feathers all over the place. Anyway, that has absolutely nothing to do with anything other than the fact that that's what it sounded like. So anyway, all that to say, back to RFK, what was the point of that? Because people are like, that's it. I'm shocked. I feel betrayed. Why would you feel betrayed? The guy's a Kennedy. He's a leftist. Yes, but he would walk around and bench press things without his shirt on. He was cool. Okay, I get it. But is that a reason to vote for somebody because they're cool? Really? And I will say this, my concern would be that this guy gets elected, and instead of having, like, I don't know, Reba McEntire singing the national anthem, you're going to have that guy. For the land of the free. All right, thank you, Dolla. I think we've got it. That's going to be my new ringtone. No, I don't know what I do not know what they were acknowledging. That's the whole thing. They needed subtitles because it sounded like a lot of nothing, but maybe it was something. I don't know, but we needed subtitles. That's all I'm saying. All right, folks, head over to ToddSterns.com in the break. Coming up, Congressman Pat Fallon's going to be here. We have yet another update on this crazy story on the border. Also, we're going to ask him about this ship. Laura Logan is doubling down, and she is saying that this was a terrorist attack on America. And there are others out there saying something very similar. But now that you've had a chance, we've had about 24 hours since the incident. Do you believe this was just a really horrible accident? Or do you believe that something more nefarious happened in Baltimore Harbor yesterday? We're going to be taking your calls on that. Also, Art Alley is going to be here from Timothy Plan. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. You think that was terrorism or an accident yesterday? And head over to ToddSterns.com, our store open for business. Get yourself a signed copy of my brand new book, Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? We'll be right back.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Yes, that would be me. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the program. Great to have you with us today. Our telephone number, if you want to weigh in on any of the big stories, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. So there is some developing news surrounding our relationship with the nation of Israel, our closest ally. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu canceled plans to send a delegation to Washington. This after the UN Security Council approved a resolution that called for an immediate ceasefire in the Jewish state's war against Hamas. The resolution passed the Security Council 14-0, and the U.S. abstained. We could have exercised our veto power, but we did not. And Netanyahu said, enough is enough. The Prime Minister's office says it represented a clear retreat from the consistent position of the United States and the Security Council since the beginning of the war. And it's pretty shameful that the Biden administration did this. Well, I want to bring into the conversation a good friend of this program, talking about Congressman Pat Fallon from the great state of Texas. Congressman, good to have you with us today.
I've said it once, I'll say it before. Todd Starnes equals great American. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. Really frustrated, though, with what the administration did here, Congressman. I mean, this is really a slap in the face to our greatest ally.
Todd, it's a brutal stab in the back. It is a betrayal. And, you know, I've asked by these protesters in the halls of the Capitol, do you support a ceasefire? And I say, I support the destruction of Hamas. And Israel is taking great care to protect its civilians. And there would be fewer civilians harmed if it weren't for the fact that Hamas uses those Palestinians as human shields. And the Hamas fighters themselves oftentimes don't wear uniforms. In fact, it's the norm rather than the rule, or rather than the exception. So it's a horrible situation. But every single casualty in Gaza is the fault of Hamas at this point. It has nothing to do with the IDF.
And Congressman, it's worth repeating here. We still have Americans being held hostage by Hamas. Yeah. Six, I believe, is the last number I heard.
Yeah, and this immediate ceasefire that the UN Security Council passed. What about the return of the hostages? That's not included here. We're asking Israel to show restraint that we didn't, unreasonable restraint, quite frankly. We weren't all help out on restraint and ceasefires after 9/11. We were focused on getting rid of the Taliban and hunting down Al-Qaeda, as we should have been. And this is proportionally worse for the Israelis than that awful event that we had 20 plus years ago. So Israel, we need to support them. We need to send the weapons. We need to, and you know what? They've shown, Todd, over decades that they are to be trusted. And they're not perfect. Neither are we. No nation state is. But they are a functioning democracy and their greatest ally in the region.
And they have every right to defend themselves. And they have every right to stop these terrorists from killing Jews on Israeli soil. It's unacceptable.
You know what, Todd, I made a point to one of the administration's hack came and testified in front of the Armed Services Committee and was trying to play, use talk out of both sides of her mouth as far as Hamas and the IDF. And what I asked her simply was, who do you find responsible for the 20,000 French civilians that were killed in Normandy in 1944, in the summer of 1944? Was it our fault? Was it Vichy France, Free France, or Nazi Germany? She actually said it was the United States' fault, which was remarkable and very telling. Of course it wasn't. It was Nazi Germany's fault, because this war wouldn't have begun had it not been for, Hitler's aggression. And what's happening in Gaza wouldn't have happened if it weren't for Hamas butchering 1,200 innocent Israeli civilians. So really, at the end of the day, it's their responsibility. There's blood on their hands.
Congressman Pat Fallon's on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today. Congressman, yesterday, of course, we all saw the horrible tragedy, that bridge collapsing in Baltimore Harbor. And now Biden says we're going to rebuild it using federal money. My question is, first of all, would the insurance company of the shipping, who, you know, the owners of the ship, would they not be responsible for covering the cost here? And also, why not just take some of the money that was being designated to the gay rights groups in that spending bill and reallocate that money to building the bridge back?
Well, the problem Joe Biden has is he doesn't have a lot of credibility when you want to mention the word, Todd, infrastructure. Because his own infrastructure bill that was passed, of course, I voted against a couple of years ago, had, I think, 88% of it, if memory serves, didn't have anything to do with infrastructure. And, you know, they used the DEI. They hide a bunch of priorities that the American people wouldn't stomach. And they call it, well, you know, we have at least a fraction of it going to true infrastructure. So, you know, back then, we needed probably $300 or $400 billion rather, to be invested in true infrastructure over the next several years. But the Obama administration pretty much put a zero at the end of that and then blew it on a whole bunch of other things. So, yeah, he doesn't have a lot of credibility when it comes to this stuff.
Congressman, another disappointing day in the courts. This is the headline here, if I can find the headline is yet another setback for Texas's plan to secure the border and to target these illegals. The headline coming from Fox, Fifth Circuit continues to block on Texas immigration law. Your response to that?
I served in the Texas legislature, Todd, for 8 years, and SB4 is a great piece of legislation that passed in the House, Senate. The governor signed it. It is law in Texas. And what it basically says is the Constitution, if you go back, I believe it's Article 1, Section 10, the states have a right to protect themselves against invasion. And that we have been invaded for the last 3+ years. Texas has every right to defend themselves. They're spending and bleeding, really, billions of dollars in educating K-12 foreign nationals. There's tremendous healthcare costs. And, of course, unfortunately, there's a small percentage of folks that are criminal. And the criminal activity is costs folks dearly, not only in property, but, of course, in their physical safety. So Texas has every right to do that. It's disappointing to see what the Fifth Circuit has done, but I really do hope and pray that this will pass SCOTUS judicial muster when the time comes.
In the meantime, you know, dealing with what's happening in the House of Representatives, I know you guys are back in your district for the holiday. Any scuttlebutt? Have you heard anything from the speaker, explanations as to why he supported a lot of the radical agendas that were being funded in the spending bill?
Yeah, I feel bad for the speaker. I mean, Mike Johnson's got one of the most difficult jobs in the country right now. He is a true conservative. I did vote against the package. I didn't think it was, I thought we could have negotiated a better deal. But, you know, I do think, Todd, as far as inside baseball goes, the Democrats want the government to shut down, or, you know, they stuff a bunch of this awful stuff in there, because they win when the government shuts down. The legacy media blames us, the Republicans, and we're so close to an election, and he inherited a mess from the prior speakers, really, his tenure, and Mike's just trying to navigate his way out. So now when we're talking about a full year of appropriations, we can do it the right way. We can do it in regular order. And we are in divided government, so we are going to have to compromise. But you want to get some wins. And my biggest win, personally for me and a lot of other Texans, was we wanted to get weight in Mexico. And that's something the president can do himself. But we wanted him to sign an event that he would reinstitute weight in Mexico. And then I would be a lot more amenable to some of the stomach that kind of a compromise. But because that didn't happen, I couldn't vote yes.
All right. Well, we're going to leave it there, Congressman. The phone's getting a little squirrely on us, but we certainly appreciate you coming on the program today, and hope you have a great Holy Week.
Thanks, Todd. God bless you, and happy Easter.
All right. Happy Easter. All right, Congressman Pat Fallon from down in Texas, the 4th Congressional District there. And folks, make no mistake about it. The Democrats hate Israel. They hate the Jewish people. I mean, it really is that simple. Go back to the days of Barack Hussein Obama, who felt very comfortable addressing all the Arab nations. But when it came time for Israel, guess what? Remember the moment when Netanyahu had to go in through the back of the building at the White House, had to come in the back entrance? That's who the Democrats are. All right, we've got to take a break. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. good to have you back with us, everybody. Thank you for watching and hanging out, listening to the Todd Stern Show. Coming up 5 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax, you'll be able to watch the Todd Stern's Show. And by the way, thank you. Thank you to the thousands of people that have already purchased a copy of Twilight's Last Gleaming. You know, one of the things we're trying to do here, when you hit those bestseller lists, it's next to impossible to do that if you are not on Fox News Channel and you're not promoting your book on Fox News Channel. So we don't have that luxury. So that's why we rely on our awesome grassroots audience. And we have so many people, and the audience is so large that if just every person in the entire audience went to Amazon right now and purchased one book, we would be the number one book in the entire nation. And I am so, and look, I am so encouraged by the message in this book. I was doing an interview with our good buddy Bruce Elliott, Sean Casey over at WCBM in Baltimore this morning. And that's one of the things that the guys talked about, was how inspirational and encouraging the book is. And I greatly appreciate that. So head over to Amazon. And again, if we just had, let me put it this way, every single person listening to us on WLOB and WDUN and KYKN, you guys alone would put us and make us the number one book in America. So it is possible. All right, let's go to the phone lines here. We'll start in Georgia, WDUN. Speaking of WDUN, Heath is hanging out with us. Hi, Heath. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Professor Starnes. It's great to talk with you. Real quick, I don't believe that the boat or ship hitting the bridge was intentional. I really don't. But two things I have in question. You know, the news has been really slow to bring us information. And I do understand when you're talking about deaths, a lot of times you don't want to put somebody's name out over the air before you've had a chance to talk to the family. But the slowness of everything has led me to believe that the people that were working on the bridge patching the potholes were probably illegal aliens, you know, from different countries. I heard something about the Mexican consulate said they were from, you know, Venezuela and Guatemala and Mexico. So that leads me to even believe even more that was the case. I told my wife this the night that it happened or the morning that it happened. But the other thing is, I want to know who the pilot is of that ship. You know, there's the captain of the ship, but then there's a local pilot that helps them maneuver and that knows the waterways. I want to know, was that pilot hired through diversity and inclusion and all this stuff? Does that pilot really have enough information? Was that somebody, you know, helping get out of the harbor? Were they really certified, or did they lower the bar to let them come through?
So, Heath, you're asking all the right questions, and these are questions that we should expect the drive-by media to ask, but they will not ask because they don't know, or they would prefer not to know that information. They'd rather be ignorant. But it is curious whenever, and we're at a point now, beyond 24 hours, where they should be releasing all this information, and they're not, because they want us to move on here. But it is a legitimate question. Who was the harbor master? We know that the harbor master and an assistant were on the ship. So that's what they told us yesterday. And we need to know who these other individuals are. And I think that's a fair question to ask, especially with so many plane parts falling off. I got to tell you, Heath, and I don't want to get too far out of the weeds, but, you know, I was flying. Where was I flying? I was flying somewhere a couple of weeks back. Out to California. And I was on an American Airlines 737. And I'm just being honest as I can be with you, folks. But I, you know, it's a long flight. Had to walk in and had a few cups of coffee too many. And I had to go into the little lavatory there. And I remember shutting the door. And I was literally hanging on. I was holding on. I had like a death grip on the little handle there in the event I pressed flush and the entire compartment just, you know, shot out from the airplane. I mean, it's all that to say, with all these diversity hires, Heath, that's a fair question to ask.
Well, I'm so excited about your book. I mean, I am just flipping out excited about it. So I really, you're such a good writer. And I love the Daily Biscuit. I'm just telling you, I just can't wait till I order it and get it here. So I hope everybody that's listening goes and orders this book. So thanks again, Professor. You're first time caller, long time listener, but I love your show. I love everybody that works for you. They're all just awesome.
And Heath, I endorse your message. I endorse everything you just said, sir. Thank you, Keith. And we appreciate you. By the way, we are coming to Gainesville on our big book tour. We'll be announcing all of the it's going to be a lot of fun. Now, you know the people at WDUN, Bill Main, all those. They know how to throw a good party. Martha Zoller, it's party. I want to read something to you. That reminded me something he said. I want to read this to you. Because a lot of people think, oh, Starnes is blowing smoke. He doesn't like the radio crowd. No, that's not true. As a matter of fact, I want to read the dedication of the book. I don't think I've actually read the dedication of the book. This is the dedication of Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? To my family, the staff at Starnes Media Group, and the bold ambassadors for Lady Liberty who listen to my radio show every day at noon, border to border and coast to coast across the fruited plain. That's you people, by the way. Those are you guys. So thank you again. And yes, I love writing. It is so much fun. And, you know, a lot of these bigwigs over at the Fox News Channel, they don't write their own stuff. They have ghostwriters. And I got nothing about, I have nothing against ghostwriting because I know how hard it is to write these things. But when you're reading like chapters like Dixie's Done Gone Woke or Starnes Gets Sent to the Hen House or Disney is the Wokest Place on Earth, you should know that I wrote those. I wrote every single word in this thing. Butter my butt, call me a biscuit. I miss Aunt Jemima. That's a tearjerker of a chapter, by the way. All right, let's go to Pastor John in Kentucky. Hey, Pastor John, what's on your mind?
Hey there, Mr. Starnes. I'm going to make this real quick, and I'll hang up and listen for your comments. I love your comments. I have pen and paper in hand when I hear them. First of all, everybody's worried about the innocent Palestinians. Let's not forget, they danced in the streets when our 9/11 buildings came down.
This is true.
I don't call them Palestinians. They are Philistines. They are descendants of. And also, another thing, if you go back in your history, when the UN allowed Israel to gather back once again, they had in their UN charter a Palestinian homeland partitioned off. In Israel, and Israel agreed to it, but the Palestinians and the trans-Arab nations turned it down. And also, I respectfully want to say to the congressman, we are not a democracy. We are a representative republic. Again, with the Palestinians that dance in the streets, the UN did give them a homeland, and as far as I'm concerned, the Philistines are the ones that are hurting us, hurting the Israelis just as much in the Gaza. Thanks, Todd.
All right. Thank you, Pastor John. A great note to end this segment on. Hang tight, everybody. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. A text from somebody. Starnes, are you going to pull a Levin? Are you going to read an entire chapter from the book? No, I'm not going to do that. No, I am not going to do that. I guess I could, but I don't have Levin's docile tones. Right? I need those kinds of tones to just as the disastrous midterm election. No, I can't do that. He's got a lovely speaking voice. I do not. I'm not going to read a chapter from the book. But what I am, the reason we've got to do this for the next couple, really for the next 2 weeks, it is vitally important for us to get the message of the book out. And this is how we do it. And really, you guys are ambassadors of that project. So that's why I'm asking you to help us out as we get the information from the book out. All right, 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Want to play some audio. This is from NBC News. People are very upset over at NBC because they hired and that now they have fired Ronna McDaniel. Cut number six.
No. We welcome Republican voice. I wish more Republicans. I want Adam Kinzinger and Liz Cheney to get right here and come talk to me. The reality is this isn't a difference of opinion. She literally backed an illegal scheme to steal an election in the state of Michigan.
And our democracy is in danger because of the lies that people like Ronna McDaniel have pushed on this country.
I've also said election deniers, it's not just they can do that on our airwaves, but that they can do that as one of us, as badge-carrying employees of NBC News, as paid contributors to our sacred airwaves.
All right, there you go. It is their sacred airwaves. That's what they're telling us. The reality is, these people over at NBC and MSDNC, they don't believe in free speech. They don't believe in having a difference of opinion. It's either their way or you are not allowed on their television station. Now, I will tell you that on this radio program, we invite people of all different thoughts to come on and talk about the issues. We invite Democrats to come on. We invite the atheists to come on. They don't want to come on, but we still extend the invitation. And we're happy to have those conversations. I'm very happy to debate the atheists and the Democrats, but they don't want to do that because ultimately they know that our way of thinking is the right way of thinking. And that's why they will. And that's the problem with MSDNC. They really, you know, they use the big words and they've got the Ivy League degrees, but the reality is they're stupid. And they know they can't hold themselves during a debate. And that's why they either bring on watered down so-called conservatives who are not conservative, like that chick on The View, the squawking magpie who claims to be a conservative. They're ignorant. And they can't hold themselves up in a debate. And so you hate to be that blunt about it, but it's true. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen, but it's true. I want to go back to Laura Logan. She's catching a lot of heat over this whole bridge collapse thing, and she's claiming that this was a cyber attack, talking to Steve Bannon, Cut 12.
This is what you call death by a thousand cuts. It is an absolutely catastrophic attack on critical infrastructure, and you cannot see it because a cyber attack is unseen. Just like the attack on 2020 on the voting machine that you cannot see.
Are your sources telling you that they feel that there's enough information out there that it is a cyber attack, and is it a state actor or non-state actors?
100%, yes. And they are saying that this is a cyber attack. You didn't have a terrorist group board the ship and commandeer it and take it over. You had somebody hack into the systems on board the ship, the GPS system, and reroute that ship. They did it in the middle of the night because they didn't want the crew to be awake. They didn't want everybody to be on full high alert. They wanted everybody to be asleep and you trying to wake people up and rouse people.
All right, so there you go. That's Laura Logan on Steve Bannon. And she says, and she is convinced, based on her sources in the intelligence community, and, you know, she's been a longtime journalist. A lot of people do not like Laura Logan, but she's hasn't been wrong about these things. So I'm curious, do you have suspicions about what went down yesterday in Baltimore? 901-260-5926, our number, that's 901-260-5926. Now, we were talking earlier about President Trump, and Newsmax is running a survey. They want to know, who do you think President Trump ought to pick as his vice presidential running mate? That is the big question. Newsmax is conducting a national poll, and they're asking Americans like you, who do you think Trump ought to pick? And Newsmax wants to know. You can get out your smartphone and text the word SKIP to 39747. That's SKIP 39747. And they will send you a link to the poll. So, again, text the word SKIP to 39747, and you'll be able to take part in the poll. President Trump would like to know your opinion, and they will share that information with the President of the United States. I think that's pretty awesome. All right, there you go. Where is that? Oh, yes. I want to go back to something that the mayor of Memphis, Tennessee was talking about. So at this very hour, you have all of the major black mayors out there. So if you're black and you're a mayor of a major city, you have been invited to Memphis, Tennessee today, and there's a big gathering of black mayors. And the whole point of this is they're addressing crime. So some of the mayors of some of the most dangerous cities in America are coming to the most dangerous city of America to figure out what to do about crime. Now, they would have invited, I guess they should have invited somebody from a city that does not have a crime problem, or maybe somebody who had a crime problem they have conquered, but they didn't want to do that. Because the mayor said, well, here's the mayor of Memphis, Tennessee, cut five.
Oh, it feels good. We're going to have mayors from 18 different cities that will be here talking about different challenges in their communities and how they are approaching challenges with crime. And you just, it's just another step in our efforts. We believe that we can learn from each other. And with Memphis being the largest majority black city in the nation, we thought that it was important to invite black mayors from across the country here to talk about this challenge.
So the mayor talks about this reestablishing the city's black swagger and soul. What's fascinating about Memphis is the Republican Party here was actually founded by black people many, many years ago. And up until the 1950s and 60s, it was the wealthy black Memphians who were actually Republicans here. But now the Democrats are in charge, and they really want to make this all about race, which is why the mayor was intentional. No white mayors were invited, and no mayors of safe cities were invited. And we've got a reporter down there. I dispatched our good pal Ben Dieter, host of the morning show on KWAM, and I asked him to ask that question. Mr. Mayor, how come no white mayors were invited to attend? Why just black mayors? And the second question that we're going to try to get the mayor of Memphis, Tennessee to answer is, why didn't you invite somebody from a city that actually knows how to fix the crime problem? We'll let you know how things go. I've got bail money set aside just in case things don't go well with the question. So there you go. Richard in Florida, WOCA, our great affiliate down there. Hi, Richard. What's going on? What's on your mind?
How do you do, sir? I was just listening to your show, and I heard you talk about that Laura Logan had made that statement that that was a deliberate attack, and I agreed 100%. I hadn't really been hearing nobody say that, but I appreciated hearing that because I, too, believe that could have been an accident. And when she explained how they did that cyberly, it made sense, and I believe that happened probably just like they said it did. And that was attack on our soil, and what are we going to do about it?
So if it was deliberate, what do you think the whole point of this was? What was the intent?
I think we're in trouble. I think just one of many that's coming down the pike. Look at the border situation where there's so many coming across. The next one might be something different, but I believe America's in trouble, and I'm not sure what the answer is. Other than praying. Trust God, take care of us, and hope we can get Trump back in there.
Well, that's true. Well, that's a fair point. Well, Richard, I appreciate you calling in. Richard says he believes Laura Logan. He believes that there's something more nefarious that happened yesterday. I don't know. It is going to cause a big disruption. I'm not sure. Did it strike fear into the hearts of people? I know a lot of people are posting pictures of themselves going across our bridges across the Mississippi River here in Memphis. And people are all, I'm praying. Hope the thing stays up. Well, okay. But it could be a cyber attack. I don't know. But it is really odd how all of that went down. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. I don't know about you, but I think Americans have had enough supporting companies that hate our values. Are you tired of always having to compromise? You pay your cell phone bill and you realize, well, great. Some of this money is going to support some sort of a left-wing cause. Well, I've got a solution to that, my friends. Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, and they literally put conservative causes ahead of the profits. And that's why I am proud to partner with them. Patriot Mobile, they have access to all three major networks. That means you get the same coverage that you've been accustomed to without funding the left. 100% U.S.-based customer service. All you have to do is go to patriotmobile.com/Todd or call 972-PATRIOT. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd or call 972-PATRIOT. Now, get this. Your first month, free of charge. They're going to pick up the tab for your first month, but you have to use the offer code SPRING24. That's SPRING24. So go to patriotmobile.com/Todd. When you sign up for your plan, use the offer code SPRING24. That will be activated. Patriotmobile.com. You can also call them 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. Quick, let's go to Elaine in Maryland, who disagrees with Laura Logan. Hi, Elaine. Good to have you with us. So tell us what you know.
Hi, Todd. I wanted to address that about that thing when you doodled Laura Logan, because she said that she thought it was a cyber attack, number one, because they did it in the middle of the night so the crew would be asleep. I think it's quite possible the crew was not asleep, because they had just left our harbor and the tugboat had taken them to the mouth of the Patapsco River. And so they would have all been on duty and not been asleep, number one. Number two, I think that she said that it was a cyber attack because they cut out the power right as it got to the pylon. Well, I don't think I agree with that either, only because there was somebody on the news here that said that he was on the ship the day before repairing the refrigeration and that the power cut out then. So if it was a cyber attack, why would they have cut out the power then? Because doing it that many times, they would have run the risk of somebody catching them. Hey, who's messing with our stuff? You know what I'm saying?
Sure. All right. Well, Elaine, good thoughts. Appreciate the call, and thank you for weighing in. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Our good friend Art Alley joins us, founder of Timothy Plan. TimothyPlan.com is the website. Art, one thing folks are not really talking about just yet are the impacts this is going to have on the supply chain. And you have to imagine prices could be ticking up a little bit because of the bridge collapse.
That might be an understatement, Todd, but it's sure good to be with you. It seems like it's been forever, man.
I know it.
Yeah, that's a major, major artery there that it's going to take them a long time to fix that one.
It is. Art, let's talk about the spending package. $1.2 trillion that Congress signed off on. And hate to say it, but Speaker Mike Johnson funding some radical programs, including late-term abortion facilities. What in the world, Art?
Oh, man. Yeah, I loved the fact that he became Speaker, but there's been some disappointing things going on there. I don't know. Yeah, just follow the money, Todd. I don't know how they come up with some of these things. But I'm old enough, man, to remember when billions was a big number. Now it's trillions. And I think I've shared with the audience before how big a number that is to these people. It's just a word. A trillion, Todd, is inconceivably big. And if I have a second, I'll give you the example. I think we've done it before. If you had a machine that printed a dollar every second nonstop, dollar, 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 60 seconds a minute, 60 minutes an hour, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, nonstop, how long would it take for that machine to print $1 trillion, not $35 trillion like we're over our head in debt, but $1 trillion. Take a guess.
How many years, Art? Tell us.
35,710 years. A trillion is an inconceivably huge number. And we're trying to borrow our way out of debt by these irresponsible things. We need to stop spending money. We need to do what New Zealand did years and years and years ago. And, of course, they've gone back in the full cycle again. But, man, they elected a responsible government about 30 years ago. They took office and they asked two questions. What should we be doing, and what are we doing we shouldn't be doing as a government? And they shrunk that government down to a fraction of what it was. And we could take a lesson from New Zealand 30 years ago, because they ended up going from the third most productive economy in the world to one of the worst. We're doing that, following lockstep, and we're just spending money. We have no business spending, doing things we have no, the government has no business doing, and all to get reelected because the people want the handouts.
And
it's a sad state of affairs, and I'm very concerned about where we go from here, man.
And Art, we've got about 30 seconds here before we have to take a break. But I will say this, it impacts everybody because now it's officially cheaper to rent than buy a home in 50 large U.S. metro areas.
Well, but that's not going to last long because the rents are going to have to go up because the landlords have to get a return on their money, you know? But that's true, and it's a sad state of affairs. You know, we did get spoiled, I mean, in an unusually, ridiculously low interest rate world. We're getting back to normal. We're above normal now. But, you know, the kinds of decisions that are being made are not good for America. But it's up to each one of us individually, folks. Get out of debt. Stay out of debt. Get your house paid for. And if you do all that, you don't have to make much money.
And Art, we got to leave it there, my friend. The computer is going to cut us off. TimothyPlan.com, ladies and gentlemen. TimothyPlan.com. Check it out today. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.